Greetings! Thank you for joining us today. We're so glad you're here. Each week, we open God's Word together, seeking to understand and apply its timeless truths to our lives. Our prayer is that this sermon will be a source of encouragement and spiritual growth, deepening your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, let's get to this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Allow me to begin by offering my deepest and my heartfelt sympathy and apologies to you, God's family, for the pain that, you know, you have been taken through. Not just this week, not just maybe today, maybe the past few months. You know, the year is still very new, right? We haven't even finished unwrapping the year. The year feels like it still has that, you know, that, what they call the new car smell. You know, paper bags and all. I mean, we're still wishing each other Happy New Year. Then this bombshell. You know, church is meant to be a safe space. I remember a congregant, you know, talking to me this week was telling me, church is where they come to reset. You know, church is supposed to be like an oasis. You know, a place where you come and you get refreshed. Not a place where you come and, you know, struggle. And I know that some of you right now are perhaps struggling, wondering whether this church is really the right place for you because of all this drama. And for that, I am deeply sorry, because we desire better things for you. And I know that I'm speaking on behalf of not just myself, but also the entire staff team and the elders. You know, the elders is here. Elder Jonathan, you know, we would desire better things. If there was a congregation that did not need another conflict, it's this one. Especially coming after, you know, last year. Just last week we did a sermon on being patient in affliction. We didn't need to do the practicals. Right? But here we find ourselves. First of all, I want to thank those of you who have been sending messages, those of you who have been texting or calling, you know, saying, Pasi, we're praying for you. You know, Pasi, just keep going. And those kinds of messages, we really, really appreciate. You know that thing for check on your friends. Some of you this week was check on your pastor. You know, and we're so glad. I know some of you here didn't send us messages, and you're like, if we had your number, you know, we would have done that. And thank you. My hope is that we will show our maturity as we adjudicate over the matters that are before us. I hope that we will do it in an orderly manner because God instructs us to do so. Where there is, you know, disorder, there is chaos. And I know that there is a pending matter on the church constitution. When we did our AGM last year around, was it November 8th? We talked about this, you know, how we want to be governed and so on. And we said, this year, in March, we will have a special meeting where guys come together and we talk about this constitution and how do we want to be governed moving forward. But I'm hoping that, you know, this pending matter will not derail us from handling the matter that is before us. And I know that these, you know, new accusations have already been taken into the court of public opinion. Guys now out there are talking about it. And we can't do anything about that. It is my humble opinion, it's my opinion, that if the case is good enough to be judged by the public, by people out there, it's good enough to be judged by the elders that we have. Let the matter be brought before them, maybe others, in the interim, because they are the leaders that we have. Let it not be said that the elders were found unworthy and left untried. Let them be tried first and be found unworthy, if indeed they are unworthy. Then we can find other forums if that is needed. And so I plead with all those involved. And all this involved are my personal friends. I plead, and I have no shame in pleading, because Paul also pleaded. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul pleads with Euodia. Paul pleads with Syntyche. He pleads with them. He says, by the way, these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, were, he says, they have contended with me at my side for the work of the gospel. They've been like my co-laborers. He's like, their names are written in the book of life. But he pleads with them, be of the same mind. In other words, we're saying, agree. And so I'm pleading as one who, together with, you know, the other pastors here, will have the responsibility of shepherding this flock. Come, let's give this internal process a chance. Otherwise, what God has permitted for our good may result in disorder, in division, and our destruction. And I don't think that will help us at all. I strongly believe that we have the resources within our church and within our biblical worldview to deal with the matters beforehand. I believe we have. If there is goodwill, then nothing will be too hard for us. I want to say that there's been a lot of internal reflection going on, just individually and also as an organization. And I know that after God is done working us through this valley, we will not be the same again. And so I want to invite you, church, to pray that God will show us the way. Pray that we will remain faithful to Him and His word. I want us to pray for the people involved and their families. I think that's what Mwangi was trying to do. Because this is not just a case about, you know, a church and you know. It's about human beings, individuals, with families, with reputations, and so on. I want us to pray for them because they are hurting. I want us to pray for each other. I want us to pray for this congregation. Pray that God will heal us. Pray that God will hold us together. Pray that, you know, our maturity will come to be seen for what it is. Pray that God will make us joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. This is the very thing that we've been talking about, you know, this month. If there was ever a time for us to live out these verses now, God will make us joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And that's what Paul says in Romans 12:12. And today we were to look at be faithful in prayer. And rather than, you know, talk about it, I want us to practice it. I want us to go before God in prayer right now and bring ourselves and bring our leaders and bring this congregation before God in prayer and ask God, help us. I want us to pray about the things that I've mentioned. I've said, pray that God will show us the way. Pray that God will bring out the truth. He would reveal the truth because we want the truth, don't we? Pray that God would remember these individuals, these families, these people that are hurting at this time. And pray for God to heal us as a congregation. I want to give you time to do that right now. If you are angry and you need to lament, I want you to know that we have a God big enough to take our complaints. A God big enough to handle our frustration. It is to Him that we carry this anger. And I want us to do that right now. So take a moment and pray. If you need to repent, you can also repent. Allow me to close using the prayer of an American Presbyterian pastor, the late J.R. Miller. He says, Heavenly Father, we wait upon you to renew our strength. We need spiritual strength today. God, we have needed spiritual strength this week. We need spiritual strength, Lord, for the year that is before us. For we have burdens to carry, God, and battles to fight, and trials to endure, and duties to perform, and temptations to conquer, and conflicts with the evil world. We need strength for all these experiences. You alone can give us what we need. God, you alone understand our church. You alone understand each congregation member and what it is that we are going through right now. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You have promised to be with us and to strengthen us. You have said that as our days are, so shall our strength be, and that your grace is sufficient for us. We accept these assurances, believing that we shall obtain help from you for every duty and every struggle this day. God, may we lean our weakness on your strength, our ignorance on your wisdom, our trembling insecurity on your unchangeableness. We ask that you would restrain us from all excesses of whatever kind, from all extravagance of speech, from all foolish vanity, from inordinate affection and emotion. Lord, I would also add from gossip and jumping into conclusions and the temptation to forward things that have not been verified. God, restrain us. Make us thoughtful, serious, solemn, watchful, and prayerful. May we be stronger in faith. God, at the end of all this, may we be stronger in our faith. May we be more honest in purpose and more holy in thought and feeling because of our communion with you this day. We ask you for grace for our leaders to do what they must. We ask you for grace to perform our allotted tasks with diligence, to guide our affairs with discretion, to do all things, whatever we do, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and in all our ways, to acknowledge you. God, we ask that you would order our steps in your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over us. Lord, let not iniquity have dominion over this congregation. Lord, let not iniquity have dominion over the leaders of this church. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Church, I believe that if we were to leave it there, it would be enough. But because we have a few minutes, allow me to just share more on prayer. Today we're talking about being faithful in prayer. If you are struggling with prayer right now, maybe you've been struggling with prayer before, but, you know, especially right now. Well, I want you to know that you are not alone. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Okay? The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. I want you to know that one of the weaknesses that we have is that we do not even know how to pray. Spirit helps us. In fact, verse 27 of that Romans 8 says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. In other words, though the Spirit does not use words, God knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. And the Spirit is praying for us in accordance to the will of God. And as if that is not enough, that the Holy Spirit is helping us in our weaknesses, you know, not knowing how to pray or how or what we ought to pray. He adds in verse 34 that Christ is at the right hand of God, also interceding for us. Friends, I don't know about you, but it gives me so much joy to know that my welfare and the welfare of this congregation and the welfare of this church is not just dependent on my prayers. that we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, that we have Christ who now is at the right hand of God also offering intercession for us. You know when it says that we do not know how we should pray? And I know some of you, this is perhaps your struggle. You do not know whether to say, God, stop this mess that is going on right now. Or, God, give us strength to go through it. You know, you don't know what should I be asking for. Holy Spirit knows. And he is offering intercession for us. Jesus Christ is offering intercession for us. Friends, when scripture comes and says, be faithful in prayer, I believe we can be faithful in prayer because Jesus Christ is faithfully praying for us. The Holy Spirit is faithfully praying for us. If you're there and you're feeling like, I do not know how to pray, or I do not know how to pray well enough, well, here's an encouragement for you. God still asks you to pray because your shortcomings in prayer are being made up for by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who now also are interceding for you. Whatever is lacking in your prayers, Holy Spirit and Jesus, they're making up for them by adding their own. If there is ever a verse to encourage me to pray, then it is that. And so, be faithful in prayer. That verse, as it says in the NIV, in the ESV, is translated, be constant in prayer. And another translation, the Berean Standard Bible, says, be persistent in prayer. Most translations would either use be constant or be persistent or be devoted to prayer. And so for me, my conclusion is then to be faithful in prayer is to be both constant and to be persistent. And I want to just share briefly about those two words very quickly and then we can close. I will start by constant. Constant means nearly continuous or occurring very frequently. It's a bit stronger word than maybe the word regular. In fact, Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray continually or pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In other words, prayer never stops. And we ought to pray not just in our prayer closet, you know, privately at home or now in church, like we have given guys an opportunity to pray, but we are to pray throughout the day, constantly, without ever stopping. And I know maybe some of you are wondering, how can this be possible? Will I get time to do other things if all I am just doing is praying? And we're going to talk about that in a moment. For this to happen, for you to pray constantly or without ceasing, then you need to make prayer a habit. And I want to say that Jesus had a prayer habit. In fact, Jesus' prayer habit left quite an impression to his disciples that in the end, the thing that they asked Jesus to teach them was how to pray, right? None of the disciples ever came up and said, Jesus, teach us how to do miracles. Or Jesus, teach us how to speak authoritatively. Jesus, teach us how to demolish the arguments of the Pharisees. No, they said, teach us how to do what? That one thing left quite an impression to them about the life of Jesus. And it makes sense for me. You know, Isaiah 53, Jesus is called a man of sorrows. You guys know Isaiah 53. It talks about the passion of Christ. A man of sorrows, familiar with pain and suffering. I always wondered, how did Jesus make it in a broken world, you know, being a man of sorrows? Because he never had like a long face. It even looked like he is really struggling, you know, to live. And yet we know that Jesus perhaps, maybe much more than is written, was really broken in his heart. We remember him coming and seeing Jerusalem, and he breaks down. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he weeps for that city. When he sees, you know, what death has done to human beings, you know, he breaks down and he weeps. To some degree, he was a man of sorrows, seeing the brokenness in a world that is fallen. I am convinced now that perhaps how he was still able to keep his head high, how he was able maybe perhaps to be patient and whatnot, is because he was given to prayer. After all, I believe the only way we can be joyful in hope and patient in affliction is if we do this last thing, if we are faithful in our prayers. Do you know how Jesus started his ministry? He started his ministry in prayer and fasting. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Church, I will tell you the truth. I am a pastor. I have never done 40 days of prayer and fasting. It is my opinion that I need prayer more than Jesus. If Jesus needed to pray, I don't even know how to put it. I know that someday I will go to heaven and I will see him on the throne. He is the ruler of the world. He is running the game. And I will know he prayed more than me. Yet I'm the one who feels I need prayer all the more. Jesus was known to take nights, a full night, just hiding himself somewhere in prayer, right? You guys who have read the Gospels know this. He was famous for taking his disciples to lonely places to pray. In fact, the Mount of Olives was a popular prayer retreat for them. Friends, I'm trying to say, Jesus loved prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. In fact, somebody said, this messed me up, said, Jesus was more eager to face the cross than many of us are eager to face the throne of God in prayer. Forget prayer. Forget how Jesus prayed. Jesus faced the cross more eagerly than many of us approach the throne of grace. This throne that scripture says, approach my throne of grace boldly and confidently so that you can receive mercy for your sins and find grace to help you in your time of need. We struggle with that. The life of Jesus challenges me so much on this issue. Friends, I'm saying that we need to make prayer a habit. How do you form a prayer habit? I would say two things very quickly. Is by having a routine and also by being random. Okay? Both of those things. Having a routine. Did Jesus have a prayer routine? Some of you are saying no. How do you know? I think Jesus was very consistent with prayer. It is probably likely that he had a prayer routine. We read this in John chapter 18, verse 2, that how Judas knew where to find Jesus. John 18, how he knew, he says, because Jesus took them there frequently. Maybe they had a thing. After we eat, we go and pray. Judas knew where to find Jesus. The question that I had for myself as I was thinking about this is, if my enemies wanted to predict where I would be, if they wanted to find me, where would they find me? If your friend and foe wanted to know where to find you, where was the place that they would likely find you? In the earlier service, we remembered that song, "You Can Find Me In There." Some of you know that song. I will not mention. There's another gentleman called Daniel. Remember him? Daniel. His friends wanted to set him up. And they said, we can't find anything wrong with this man. Not his friends, his enemies. You know, the satraps, the administrators, and the prefects, those guys. They said, we are trying to set the man up. We can't find a way. The only way they could set him up is his prayer life. Daniel had a prayer routine, right? He would pray in the morning, he would pray in the afternoon, and he would pray in the evening, consistently. This one thing about him was predictable. Friends, the only way you can create a habit is if you have a routine. It starts there. You have to be intentional. And so I ask you as you go into 2026, are you intentional about your prayer life? The way in which you can be intentional is create a routine for it. Say, hey, I'll plan ahead. I will be praying at this time. Put a time to it. For some people, it's in the morning. I prefer to do it in the morning. Other people prefer to do it in the evening. Okay? Jesus was going to pray with his disciples after dinner. Some people do it in the evening. Some other people say, I want God to be the first person I talk to in the morning and be the last person I talk to in the evening. Okay? Make a time for it. Say, it will be this time. Put an alarm, put a reminder. Don't leave it to chance. It is not just about the time. It's also about what will I be praying for. Friends, there are a lot of things to pray for. Do you know the world is full of problems? If you're not intentional, there's a lot that you will not pray for. And you can make a decision. At this time is when I will be doing my prayers. On Monday, I can be praying for my family. On Tuesday, I can be praying for my work and my workplace. On Wednesday, I will be praying for my church. On Thursday, I'll be praying for my country. On Friday, I'll be praying for the world. And you organize it like that. Because there is a lot to be prayed for. Otherwise, we will fall victim into the tyranny of the most urgent, and the cares of the day will take over, and we will never find time to pray. So prayer needs to be a routine, but prayer also needs to be random, where we are free to pray anytime throughout the day. And these random prayers don't have to be long. They can be just whispers, like one-sentence prayers. When I talked about, you know, praying continually, this is what I was talking about. The entire day, you are just ready. You're doing your life right in the presence and in the throne of God. Jesus also shot up quick prayers. You see him on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Lord, in your hands I commit my spirit." Nehemiah, when he was threatened, you know, by his enemies, you know, they were spending false reports about him, you know, that he's trying to overthrow the government. He made a very short prayer, which was, "God, strengthen my hands." And then he continued with his work of rebuilding. So you can be in the office and you're stressed. And you can shoot up a quick prayer and say, "God, your serenity." You can be on the road driving and a matatu comes, cuts you. You know, rather than cast them out, you can say, "God, your self-control." That's powerful prayer. In fact, I have learned over time to shoot those quick one-word prayers, one-sentence prayers. I hear a stressful news or something that shocks me. I go, "God, your shalom. God, your peace. God, your tranquility. God, your help. God, your joy." When I'm feeling like my joy is running out, just, "God, your joy. I'm just going about my business." That's what we can do throughout our day, because we are constantly aware that we are in the presence of God. I was talking about being constant, the very last one, and then we dismiss you. Be persistent. Jesus Christ taught persistence in prayer. And in Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, he actually gives a parable to show his disciples that they should pray and never give up. Men ought to pray and not give up. He says in Luke chapter 18. Allow me to read. He says, "In a certain town," this is the parable, "there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" I want you to think about this for a moment, friends. This widow knew this judge doesn't care about God. For me, the whole idea of not caring about God is the whole idea of not caring about right or wrong. And he didn't care about people. This was the person that she was going to. The person does not care. And you know what she does? She kept going to this judge. What kind of faith is this? What kind of faith is this? No wonder at the end of this parable, Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth?" Because I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus Christ is requiring of us is not even this level of faith. Because our case and our situation is not this bad. We have a Father and a judge who loves us so much, who cares about us, and who cares about justice. That's the one that we are going to. No wonder in this parable, he uses that, you know, how much more? Friends, how much more should we be coming again and again and again? I wonder if this widow, if she was real and she came to us, how are we going to explain our prayerlessness? Her who had a situation more complicated than ourselves. I'm sure maybe she might say to us, "Your prayerlessness is indicative of your faithlessness." Our prayerlessness, friends, maybe is a resignation to the status quo. But Jesus says, as long as the need is there, never give up praying. And this doesn't mean that God will always answer your prayer according to how you exactly ask of it. There's a poem that goes like this. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth will dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. God will always answer, but according to what is best. But as long as the need is there, friends, let's not give up on prayer. Praying faithfully, he's praying constantly and praying persistently. Friends, this year, I'm hoping that we can be persistent in prayer. And if you have got nothing to pray for, with persistence, and I believe that we all have, if we were to be real with ourselves, there are so many issues around us. But if you find that maybe your situation is unique, you have really nothing to persist in prayer about, let me give you one today. Pray for our church. Persist in prayer for our church. Pray constantly for our church. Our elder said, pray and even fast for our church. Pray for ourselves. Pray for us, the leaders. Pray for the matters that are beforehand. Let us be faithful in prayer, because only then will we be joyful in our hope and patient in our affliction. Amen? Allow me to say a quick prayer. God, we thank you for giving us prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we have an answer to affliction. We have an answer to hopelessness. We have an answer to anxiety. And that is prayer. In the scriptures, you say that we should not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, we should make our requests known unto you. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Sovereign Lord, there are many of us here who feel like we do not know how to pray. And we're so glad that Scripture says, yes, you know that to be so. And that's why you, Holy Spirit, and Christ, you are ever making intercession for us and still inviting us to bring our prayers. I pray that we will be encouraged that whatever mumblings we bring, that they are acceptable before you. Because whatever is lacking in our prayers, you will make up with yours. Help us to be encouraged to take our prayers to you. Help us to find time for it. To be constant and to be persistent. To be faithful and to pray without ceasing. And in so doing, mighty God, I'm praying that you would make us joyful in hope and patient in our affliction. May you be glorified, Lord, in our lives.
Hill Chapel. We pray that the Word of God will be made alive in you and transform your life. Remember, this journey of faith isn't meant to be walked alone. If you've been searching for a place to belong, to grow, and to serve, we invite you to become a part of our community. Find out more about us by visiting our website at mamlakahillchapel.org. We're here for you in prayer and in fellowship. Until we meet again next week, may the love and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Baraka Tele.